Well, I'm Marty Parker, and this is my partner, Don Van Dorn, and we're with Unicom Consulting. I don't have another slide on this. I'll just say we're an independent consulting firm. Our customers are like you. They're, you know, Fortune 500-sized companies who ask us to come in and help them work on their unified communication roadmap. We don't resell anything, so we do what we do for them, no matter what we recommend. So sometimes they don't buy anything, sometimes they buy link, sometimes they buy link with something else, sometimes they buy something else. So it varies depending on the requirements. And so we're really thrilled to be here for this session because applications are kind of what we do. We help customers discover where the applications for UC are in their business, where they exist in their business, and how to make money with them. So that's what we're going to talk about. Right, Don?
Exactly right. And we're really delighted to be here and to have all of you with us. Marty and I have been involved in this since 2007 is when we formed our company. Our friendship goes back, well, I don't know, 20 or 30 years.
Right.
But
almost 30.
What we discovered is that because of the massive change in communication structures and infrastructure that's going on, it's really interesting that enterprises are trying to really wrestle through this and sort of figure out what do we do? Where do we go with this? How do we move from our legacy environments into this new era? And I think that
one of the things... Well, we're going to come to those slides.
Sorry?
Don't get ahead of the story.
Well, I won't. I'm sorry.
You got a whole slide on
that. He winds me up and turns me on.
No, I just said it. So what we're going to do in this session is we're going to explore applications for UC beyond the basic out-of-the-box capabilities. So this is not a link user's manual session. Okay? We're going to identify the potential value for UC beyond the simple user productivity. In other words, beyond putting IM presence in the conferencing on the desktop and saying, you're smart people, figure it out. We're going to go beyond that. And we're going to discover how UC can help you improve your business to increase revenue or lower costs or improve customer service and satisfaction. So that's where we're going in this session. I'm glad you're here. If it doesn't fit, you're welcome to go somewhere else, but I'm glad you're here.
Well, let's ask about how it fits. How many of you are end user companies? You buy systems and implement them somewhere, okay? How many of you are suppliers?
Well, they're integrators.
People
There's
that
a
manufacturers.
Lot of integrators here, right.
Well, I was getting to there.
Okay.
It's not on the chart.
I know.
Anyway.
You're interrupting my flow.
So manufacturers, people that manufacture these systems, how about integrators? So, okay, great. Good deal. This actually is important. This is going to be an important session for both groups, frankly, because we'd like to talk to the enterprise customers about, you know, what do you do inside your business to figure out how best to do these kinds of systems, and to the SIs, we really want to talk about how can you help your customers maximize the value. So that's what we're up to.
Right. So we're going to talk about these five topics. What are the applications? Where do the customers need them? What applications are here today? What are the likely future ones? And what are keys to success? So with that, now Don gets the clicker.
Thank you.
Now you can talk.
Cool. Now I can talk. We're going to pass this thing back and forth once or twice. Okay. So applications. This notion of applications, I think, is a fundamental concept because in my mind there's been a lot of confusion about what are the applications and what are the tools. We're going to talk about both those and then also what's the concept. What's the concept behind unified communications? Because I think that what we're really seeing, or maybe universal communications now, isn't it?
I guess maybe.
Whatever. Okay, we keep changing the language. But the point is, the way to make these things work is to make them integrated into your business processes. That's a phrase that Marty came up with 2006 or so, and it sort of stood the test of time. This notion of unified communications as being, you know, this notion of integrating it into the business process is really a fundamental idea. And the way to do that, frankly, is look for the business applications where communications can make sense. Our whole talk today is going to be about how do you find those? Where are some of the opportunities? Where can you best see them? Okay, so let's talk about some of these things. And these are the tools that come out of this concept of unified communication. Some of the capabilities that you can apply to a particular situation to build into an application, if you will really change how things happen. Multimedia, software-based solutions, embedded communications. You know, these are some of the of the kinds of capabilities that we're increasingly seeing. This embedded communications idea, by the way, is something that's really crucial, because what we find is that more and more what's happening is communications is no longer this, and especially voice communications, by the way, is no longer this standalone idea. It's not a PBX that's sitting over here in the corner. Communications are getting baked into all kinds of different solutions that we've got. And so I think what's really important is to look at how those things can happen and what the changes are that are done with it. Marty, anything else you want to say about these others? Different order on this, but okay. We'll come back to some of this. Presence, social networks, IM and chat, these are some of the kinds of tools that we're all familiar with. And frankly, when people start talking about unified communications, quite often what they glom onto is this one over here on the right, IM and chat. You know, we think of instant messaging as, you know, hovering over somebody's name, being able to launch a communications, and we'll start seeing how that isn't a very effective and important tool, but that by itself is not unified communications. And I think a lot of people tend to make some of those mistakes. Social networks is clearly something that's emerging and coming up and becoming much more important. And as a result, you know, I think what we're trying to figure out is how do we bake some of these new kinds of communications channels and capabilities into the processes that we use on a day-to-day basis. Presence, of course, is a key component of all of these. Somebody once described presence as being the new dial tone. And in some sense, that's a really apt description. And the reason is because this is the way we understand how best to launch a communications. Used to be we had just a couple of alternatives. Now we've got many. And so understanding what the best way to do something at a particular time is really crucial. Presence, really effectively used, is much more than just a buddy list. It encompasses the idea of what's the skills that are involved and how do we look at the skills underneath what some of these capabilities are. And that's something that I think we're going to come back and talk to a little bit more in the future. And then finally, a lot of other capabilities. This notion of a collaborative workspace, I think, is a really fundamental idea. What we're seeing more and more is the ability for a place where people who are working, for example, on a project team can all just log in when they arrive at work, and it becomes both the document repository and a communications hub. All the documents that are relevant to this particular project are stored here, all the recordings of meetings that have gone on, all the ways that you want to launch a communications or set up a conference, for example. All of these kinds of things can be controlled within these sort of workspaces. Obviously, video is starting to become a very important and critical issue, and we're moving from sort of telepresence, room-based systems into how do we just deploy this in a dispersed way, so through desktops and everything else. Marty, any other comments on that? So what do these UC applications do? A couple of fundamental concepts. You know, they add value by really improving what these business processes and workflows are all about, but there really are three fundamental ideas. How do you go faster? How do you use less? Or how do you be different? And I think in our presentation today, you know, Marty's going to talk a lot about some specific examples about how companies have gone faster or use less or be different, because these are fundamental ideas that really drive the bottom line business value. And after all, that's really what we're trying to do here. And I think, unfortunately, too often companies have, let me say it differently, too often IT departments or people that are buying these kinds of communication systems have not thought about things in that term. And what it means is that sometimes they lose control of what's going on. And I think that increasingly we're seeing situations where line of business managers are making decisions about things that encompass communications. Think Salesforce.com is a good example. You know, here's a system that was originally sold to sales managers, and all it was something easy for the salespeople to keep track of their contacts and where they have to go. What is Salesforce.com today? It's a platform. It's a platform on which we're building all these other new capabilities. And I think what's going on within unified communications, and especially vendors like Microsoft, are that we're starting to look at this as a platform concept. And how do we build capabilities on top of this in a way that really enhances how work gets done? So that's some of the key concepts we're going to do. When Marty and I in our consulting work look at UC deployments and the way UC is existing in many organizations, what we tend to find is that the ways unified communications is used in companies breaks down into two big categories. And one of these is what we call UCU, or user productivity. The other is called UCB, or business processes. And how do you incorporate that? So on the one hand, it's all about helping individual users manage their communications more effectively. On the other hand, it's really about how do we optimize business processes to really change and use integrated communications capabilities in order to bring all this together. So that's a fundamental distinction that we've seen. So in the user productivity side, what we typically see is that it's user-oriented tools. And we showed some of those tools on that previous chart, but instant messaging and presence, soft phones, mobility support, different kinds of conferencing capabilities. All good things. You know, it really changes how individuals can get something done. But typically what happens is that people look at this from the perspective of, oh, I can save, you know, 10 minutes a day. And you've probably seen justification stories put together about why we should buy this thing because it's going to save, you know, 10 minutes a day times 1,000 employees times the average salary of so-and-so, and that's our savings. Well, no, it's not. And, you know, it's hard to justify things on that kind of a basis. And so what we see is that the other big challenge we often see is that a lot of people tend to implement unified communications or think they're implementing unified communications by going to VoIP, by going to IP phones, by replacing their PBX. Frankly, this does not do it. It doesn't cut it. And in fact, it gets in the way. Marty made that point, I think, in his one of his other talks here, that what happens is that when you do that, all you do is delay the kinds of benefits that you can really get from this. So our strong message in general is, don't replace that PBX. Figure out how to work around it. Use it as a gateway. Use it as part of your solution. But anyway, I'm getting my head of myself here. But I love it. But quite often what happens is that people sell unified communications, all these presence and IM and all this great capabilities to link to somebody else. That's the sizzle. That's why you want to buy this new PBX. Well, and again, our message is you don't have to buy the PBX to get that kind of sizzle. But that isn't even the most important point. And it's this business process side where we can really make a change and really make a bottom line impact. And so how do we optimize these business processes? And by the way, you can see in parentheses that little phrase CEBP, Communications-Enabled Business Processes. We'll get to that in another chart. But the point is, this is the way that you can really turn on the benefits and turn on the advantages of this. How do you identify specific individuals that have particular communications profiles? This is a key concept and something that we're going to spend a lot of time in this session talking about. How do you identify what those profiles are, and then how do you use those in a way to figure out what the business requirements are, what the technical requirements are, so that when you go out and buy something or implement some particular solution, you can make sure you're meeting those kinds of business requirements. So this is really the whole concept behind what we're trying to get done. Okay, CEBP. This is a term that Bernd Elliott coined at Gartner in 2006. And basically, this notion of integrating communications technology with business processes to improve results. And it's a fundamentally new way, well, new back then, way of looking at how do we use these tools to do a more effective impact. And I think we're still learning it, frankly. I mean, the whole point of our session and what we do in our work all the time is help organizations see this kind of a way to look at it. It's not a technology-first approach. It's a business-first approach. What are the business issues? Where are the barriers? Where are the bottlenecks? You're going to hear those words a lot during this presentation today. What's really fascinating is that if you look at where the value is, we find some very intriguing results. This is sort of the UC value per year from UCU, user productivity capabilities. This is nice. Improve conferencing. You know, these numbers, by the way, are all based on case studies and surveys and studies we've done and things we've seen in our own client engagements. There's some good benefits in here, but look at the benefits on the other side. I mean, frankly, the UCB value can be so much more important because we're not just getting at the sort of individual productivity and how can I do things more effectively and avoid getting on airplanes. It's not that. That's not where the money is. Where the money is increasing sales. You know, it's in speeding up projects, lowering what the process costs are. All of these kinds of things add up to 10 times the amount of money that you can save over on this side. These are great, but these are really wonderful. Yeah, so Marty?
We're gonna get real specific about these things.
Exactly, thank you.
Thank you, Don, for setting the stage. So the way we look at this, we say, okay, what's a business process? Well, it's a sequence of activities or tasks that serve a particular business goal, like develop a new product, or settle an insurance claim, or repair downed power lines. These specific examples are communications-intensive activities. And in the past, as Don suggested, we had to do these through isolated process steps, paper flows, people in meetings, that kind of thing, with high manual content, and we were limited by location and network. So the PBX, by the way, only worked inside the corporate network. You needed a direct inward system access privilege, which hardly anybody could get, in order to have your speed dials follow you outside the building. So now, in the UC era, the world changes to an integrated business flow, software-assisted, and uniform across locations and networks because it's all internet protocol. You know, of course, I know the cellular networks, 4G, LTE, and so forth, but I'm still going to get the data flow across that. That's what I'm looking at. So we've talked about what are they generally, but where do customers need them? That's what we're going to go for next. So we see the top UCB applications. This is a white paper that Don and I wrote with Microsoft's sponsorship about 2.5 years ago. And so we already had been talking about this for some years, and they said, would you put it into a taxonomy that we can understand? And so there are 7 of these. Everyone's a verb, a noun, and an outcome. So optimize resource utilization. We're going to go through these in more detail, so I won't dwell. Accelerate transaction completion. Increase notification precision. Improve contact success. That's not a call center. That's like I'm a customer wanting to find my sales, my account team. That's a contact, not a call center, okay? Not a contact center. Automate communication processes, speed information delivery, and enhance collaboration effectiveness. Notice, by the way, only one of these is called collaboration. And there are some companies that sell video systems that want the whole world to be defined as collaboration. They even stopped saying UC and they started saying collaboration. Gurdeep trumped them by calling it universal communications now. But the point is that that's not the only thing. It's back to usage profiles. There are some usage profiles within any business that are highly collaborative, but there are also some that are only doing transactions. There's no collaboration in there. In fact, if they have to collaborate, you failed. The process isn't well defined. If they have to stop and discuss this, okay, I'm making a Dell computer. It's going down the line. I'm putting the things in it and so forth. Oh, let me stop and talk about a resistor. I don't think so. Let's talk about what a circuit board. Is this circuit board? What does this do? No. Just put it in the machine. So you don't need to collaborate everywhere. Steps to a UC roadmap then are like this. So review the business processes and select those that are likely to benefit. So if you look at a company, it's all about business process. We'll say more in a minute. Some of the processes have more benefit from communications than others. Analyze them to find communication hotspots, what we call that, if you're practicing Lean Six Sigma or whatever, you may have other terms for that, but it's all about the same thing. Anybody know Lean Six Sigma? Some? Yeah. Well, it's all about finding waste, rework, and error. They've got a list of things you go looking for. Well, we have a list like that. We'll show it to you. Identify UC solutions and value, and then choose the technology. Now, the cool thing about Link is it's very modular. And so you can take the pieces and parts and assemble them, both licensing and technology, and apply them in some very interesting ways. But you choose that after you know what you're trying to solve for. And some people buy all the licenses through an enterprise agreement, and they say, OK, I can just put it anywhere I want. That's true, but you still should solve for a problem. And then create UC roadmap and implementation plan. So let's talk about this first one. Review the business processes. As Don said, the goal is to streamline or differentiate the business process by going faster, using less, or being different. And our focus, our consulting focus, is on the communications in the business process. So we're not here selling conveyor belts, right, or trucks, or we're not selling new materials processes. We're selling communications processes, right? And we don't sell them. We consult on them, but still, that's the point. So if you go faster, let's look at a go faster. So let's say this activity is a collaborative activity like designing a new product, or it's a high-ticket sales activity that takes 6 months on average, and most companies contract the quote to close, find the prospect to close them, and they've got numbers like 6 months in there. We've done that with clients, and we've done the studies, and there are case studies about it. If you go in and just tweak two things, one is the contact success, and then the other is the collaboration speed when you're redesigning for the customer as you do the proposal. You can actually move that 6 months down to four with just those two things. And if you move six down to four, you get to do it three times a year instead of twice. And so this is what the math looks like. The revenue, if I'm selling $100 worth or $100,000 worth, whatever, if I sell 100 per activity, then my revenue goes from 200 to 300. I get a 50% increase in revenue. My costs go up by 50% as well, because I'm still going to ship product or ship services or whatever. I still have cost increases. My expense, however, only goes up about 25%. I have to pay a third commission now, and I have a little bit more entertainment and travel to go with that sale. But the point is, my bottom line goes up from 20 to 50. I have 150% increase in profitability by just taking that one tweak out of sales. So that's why I remembered in Don's chart that he showed earlier, the top right corner had huge numbers coming from improving sales. There's an example, because I go faster. Okay, or I could use less. So I could come inside my stack. Here's a company that says dollars. It could say percent. Financial people have this. They call it expense by natural class. And the CFO knows this chart. They wake up in the morning. They dream it. And so the point is, this is where I spend my money on labor, materials, depreciation, overhead, and profit. And so if I'm spending it like in the from column, and I can move to the to column, I might take 17% out of labor and 3% out of materials, 20 out of depreciation, 10 out of overheads, but I get 100% increase in profit. So I may not even do all of those. Maybe I just find something that gives me the 17% out of labor or just the 20% out of depreciation, but I'll still get a leverage effect on my profitability. So I got a bottom line by using less. I can do the same job with less time, less material, less travel, less asset. We're going to see cases for that in a minute. Or be different. So, this is what CEOs and line of business executives wake up in the morning thinking, either how can I go faster, use less, or be different, differentiate myself. And so people like Amazon, Southwest, Scottrade, Connect, I love Connect. It's a great be different for Microsoft. Prius, they took the idea of, I'm going to build a 55 mile per gallon equivalent car, 8 years ago, when people were just getting started with that. But Southwest, look at their chart of be different. And what they did, this is actually a use less chart, isn't it? Because they also use less by not checking bags between airlines or giving out, making seat assignments and so forth. But they are different. And so they're a bus with wings, but they're the only airline that stayed profitable through every recession because they've got a different model. And people like that model. So it's this kind of an idea. And so you want to look at, we want to help our clients, either your company specifically or for the integrators and so forth, help your clients look at this way and say, where can we do these things? So how would we do that? So we're going to analyze the processes to find these communication hotspots. And the way we're going to do it is the usual suspects. I've got a chart later. I got ahead of myself. The usual suspects for this come in four kinds of spaces, either collaboration-oriented business activities or transaction-oriented. So it may help you to think about that, because collaboration is very labor-intensive, and it's often the go-faster or be-different category, whereas the transaction-oriented may be more in to use less. You know, I'll use less labor, less time. People won't be waiting to get something done. We have a great transaction-oriented. We have a bank that's got a high net worth bank. Their average client is way up on the scale in wealth. And they have what they call relationship managers. And these people, we found, are writing massive amounts of email every day to the back office people saying, how's my loan application going? How's that portfolio analysis coming and so forth? This is an analysis. They should not have to do that. There should just be a portal where they click with a loan number or an ID or a client ID. They should get that information right back on their mobile device. So they're wasting a lot of time, so they can go faster and use less. High volume or high value. So that I showed you a case of the high value sales, the 6 month long high ticket sales cycle, but you can also do it with very high volume. Don is a specialist in contact centers, and contact centers have made millions of dollars for companies by taking 10 seconds, 20 seconds out of the average call hold time, except they do it 10,000 times a day. Or a million times a month or whatever, right, Don? Big numbers. So high numbers of transactions. And then complex and exception-based. So that's another place to go shopping. BNSF Railways is a client of ours, and one of their UC solution problems is a derailment. They don't plan on those, but when they happen, they rally the company in a certain way because you've got to be in touch with all sorts of safety organizations, first responders, hazmats. You got regulatory issues and so forth. They've got to assemble a team to deal with that. And until they get that done, they can't move the freight again on that line. So this is an important, this is an exception. They don't plan on it, but they have to do it really well. So that's kind of a shopping list. So when you analyze a business process, you know, we encourage talking to the managers, reviewing any documented procedures. Sometimes you'll find business analysts in the company who already know, have the workflows defined. We had an insurance company where the business analyst said, well, tell us what to look for. And we told them what to look for. I'll show you the chart in a minute. They came back in about 2 weeks and had 63 hotspots in the claims process. And we could solve 42 of those with just 3 unified communications interventions. We couldn't solve them all, but 3 specific things would change their claims process. And any of you that know, how fast you pay off a claim is all about how profitable you are as an insurance company. Because you use less and you pay less. There's a clue. But anyway, so you can go do that. And you know, you can identify the inputs, the tasks, the outputs. You can see how to do that. And you identify the hotspots. So you look at places where the communication component of that process is slow or a barrier or whatever. And so here are some typical hotspots. A business process that involves serving or routing incoming contact requests, the customer trying to find their account team, finding or waiting for a specific resource, skill, or person. That was the claims process one. If a boiler explodes in the state of Massachusetts, you have to have a certified boiler inspector come and look at that. How do you find that person? Because until you do that, the whole thing stops, right? So there's some things like that. It's true in healthcare. It's true in many, many industries. Queues. Email, voicemail, and tasks are great opportunities. I mean, email is a terrible thing from a business process perspective because I put something in a queue and I have no control over when the person will take it out on the other end and do it. So maybe I want to get out of the queue business and be in the instant messaging business, or maybe I want to be in the web portal business. You know, I can use UC tools to get past that queue. Prioritizing, scheduling, or logging responses to queues. It's related to the prior one, but it still is one. Communication triggered by a process step. So as soon as I get, you know, I'm in healthcare, you know, I now have my chart portal, because it used to be as soon as the doctor read the EKG or whatever, they had to call me and tell me what the results were, or come, you know, talk to your doctor. No, that was a process. That was a communication triggered by a process step, right? Now I can look at that. Can I automate that with UC tools? Is the question. Getting approvals to continue or complete a process. So this is the approval process up the chain of command and so forth. Consultative processes, you know, analysis, negotiation, so forth. Collaborative processes, like R&D, marketing, HR, legal, management, they all have these. And then finally, calling or messaging for information, especially when you're mobile. So there's a lot of these kinds of lists. By the way, all these charts will go up on the My Link portal along with the recording of this session. And then lastly, interruptions. So email, voicemail, IM, calling, checking for status and so forth. By the way, the one that makes me laugh the most is we had clients where we actually looked at the phone bills from the field people, and most of the calls were going to someone inside to read information off a screen. Human protocol conversion. And the answer, of course, is a mobile app or an IM bot. And I'm going to show you one of those in a minute. So we've seen this before. We saw it in call centers, contact centers. I came out of the computing side and the voicemail side. Don came out of the contact center side. We think contact centers are the rich aunt of unified communication because they've already figured out how to streamline processes using people, processes, and technology, right? So it's this idea. And we also think that interactive voice response is an example of this in the communications realm. So there are other examples of this success. We're not saying this is the first time. This is repeating again because we've got new tools. The tools Don talked about are new. So you get to go look at your processes again and streamline them again. Now, this value chain, Michael Porter is a professor at the Harvard Business School. He wrote a book in 1986 called Competitive Advantage. And it's one of the, you know, keystone books in business these days. I mean, you can't go through business school, I think, without reading that book. And he said every business has a value chain. And it's true. And it's fun. Don and I do this with our clients all the time. And we're going to show you some examples here in a minute. And every business has it. And these are the steps. And they're all the same. By the way, deliver in healthcare is care providing. Nurses and doctors who care for people in the hospital, that's deliver. It's not make. Make is training and hiring doctors, training and hiring nurses. That's the make part of it. Make, building a bed, you know, building a hospital room with a bed in it, that's the make part. The deliver is what the care providers do. So every company, every industry has its unique version of this. But this is the value chain. And then enterprise support is the people behind the scenes, IT, HR, finance, executives, and so forth. So they all have it. Usage profiles, as Don said, are going to align with these value chain events. So you can start mapping people into what they do. And the value chain processes have communication steps in them. So now it starts saying, well, that may be where I look for hotspots. And some communication steps are those hotspots or bottlenecks. And by the way, they may not appear every place. It depends on the company, right, Don? And so UC applications can streamline or eliminate those. Here we go. We're going to look at some. So here's an enterprise value chain for a typical manufacturing. It says that up in the top left, manufacturing usage profiles. And you'll see HR, IT, HR, and finance. They are very similar, by the way, in terms of how they work. R&D and engineers, the people creating the products, marketing, sales and support, manufacturing, logistics, support services. These are different, the roles that align, the titles that align with those. And then if you take those seven applications that I mentioned to you before, now, we're going to visit these again in a moment. But if you do that, you can then map that against these people. So if I'm in IT, HR, and finance, I might use all six of these different UC applications. Now, it doesn't mean I have to use them all at once or right away, but that's it. Whereas R&D and engineers, surprisingly, I mean, their job is a very interesting collaborative job, and they don't do much other communicating. So, you know, we only check two of those boxes. You know, they have a need for resource utilization and collaboration effectiveness. Every so often you see contact success show up in there. I got to find somebody. I got to find expertise. Marketing, more collaborative, but also externally facing, more contact success. That one gets checked. Sales uses a different set. Manufacturing, a different set. Logistics and manufacturing look kind of alike, except there's more information delivery in the logistics side. And then finally, we get to services. Well, you know, this will be slightly different within any given company, and then it's somewhat different across industries. So healthcare will be different from manufacturing, insurance different from retail, finance, and so forth. But, you know, we've done this across dozens of industries, a dozen or so industries, better way to say. And so now we can say, okay, I've done that. Where would the solutions be? So I'm going to give you actual case examples of this. So the first one is Global Crossing. And these are all link-based, by the way. So Global Crossing, they're a backbone network service company. You now know they're now part of Level 3. They got, you know, bought up and so forth. But at the time that this was invented about 3.5 years ago, they have international operations to customers. They needed improved performance and customer sat. Remember, they went through a bankruptcy cycle? Well, as they were looking through that bankruptcy process, they said, what's our problem? And they found one of the big ones was customer service. And what they found, the hot spot, was the help desk, because the help desk tech was making an average of 5 telephone calls to find the right engineer to help them solve a problem. That was the communication hotspot right there. And so what they did is they built a resource finder right into their help desk app. So imagine IM and Presence built into Remedy with a smart search engine in it. And so what they did is they had algorithms to say if this, they discovered every problem was either because the last step was done wrong or the next step needed to be customized. So if it was the prior step, the algorithm said, is the engineer who did that prior step on shift and available? Okay, IM and Presence. And if they are, then I open up an IM chat with that person and I paste the trouble ticket automatically, software, paste the trouble ticket into the IM chat and they start working on the problem. If that person isn't available and on shift, or if it's the next step, then find an engineer who's qualified for this kind of task, who's on shift and available, and open up the IM chat with a ticket in it. They solve 70% of their tickets now in that IM chat, no voice call. Their average phone call per trouble ticket is 0.3 phone calls. So they didn't make the phone calls better. They made them go away. And so the benefits is, I say that, they improve customer response times by 80%, and they reduce the labor content by 70%. And yes, they assigned about 40% of their people to other parts of the business, and because they were fixing the problem, the business was growing again, so they soaked up the rest of the overcapacity through growth. They didn't hire into that group for years. Okay, I mean, they had some rotational, but you know, the point is, this was a marvelous ROI for them, big ROI. And so basically, if you look at their value chain, this is, they solved right over there. All they did is solve those three little points. They didn't deal with the whole thing. It's not boil the ocean problem. It's not a boil the ocean approach. They found those three problems and solved them. Same thing, here's one called Wonderware. And Wonderware, basically, you don't know about them. They don't sell anything to us. They sell software to manufacturing companies. So these are manufacturing companies who are running their business on Wonderware, and it follows the process through the manufacturing flow. And the communication hotspot is when there's an outage, a slowdown, or some other process problem on the floor, the Wonderware software, through its monitoring and sensing, knows that. Now it's going to need help because the bot can't go fix it. Needs a technician, a supervisor, whatever. And so they integrated OCS and Link right into the Wonderware product so that the software itself or the person who's monitoring the software at the help desk, you know, the called the Manufacturing Operations Center, can basically see that and go find the right technician who's proximate to the problem and available. So we're using presence, location awareness, and basically respond to the alert. So they get faster response, therefore every time I get it working again, I get to produce product. So I get more output from my plant, right? So this is using less assets in the end. In the end, if I have 1,000 of something to produce, and you know, I'll need less assets to produce them. And if I have a unlimited demand in my market, I can make more, so I can grow the business too. And then the better team communications had lower labor costs because there's less wait time. They utilize the expertise within the company better. So there was another high ROI, and here we are back to the manufacturing value chain. And all I had to do was those two little check marks. There's a really good ROI by dealing with just a couple of problems. Resource utilization, find the resource I need, and notification precision, tell them I have a problem. And of course, they'd send them an IM, you know, with the problem in it. Go to this machine, look at this problem. Okay. Here's Conexus Energy, and this one is an electric utility in Minnesota, customer-owned, and their hotspot is they get an outage, kind of like the derailment in BNSF. They get an outage, and they have to bring together a team of people. You know, maybe they're calling them from home, they're calling them off of shift, they're on shift, but they're at another site. They got to get them together and then go solve that problem, put the power back up, replace the transformer, do whatever it was, a tree fell, you know, cut the tree out, put the wire back up. And of course, the pony in here, they got two pieces of money making in here. One is if they can bring, it used to cost them a couple of hours to get the team together. Now they're doing it in sub 1 hour. And so there's less payroll because they're calling people in on overtime. And if they get most of the team there but not the whole team, they're paying people to wait. Moreover, as soon as they get the power back on, the meters start running again. And if you're a utility company, you're all about having the meters run. And so every hour that you're waiting to assemble the team, the meters aren't running. So it's worth revenue. So basically, they put in the rules into a piece of software. It calls and gets responses through an IVR, the IVR capability of Link. Typical completion in about 10 minutes. Of course, people have to travel to get together. It takes them about an hour to assemble the team. But it used to take over an hour. They used to have people calling. This used to be a labor-intensive thing. People got into an outbound call center and started calling people. Now they just do it, boom, automatically. And the users can say what device they want to be notified on. You want to call me, IM me, whatever. And Avtech, a gold partner, developed this for the company. And of course, Avtech can now go sell it to other utilities, right? It's repeatable. And shorter time to restore, operators focus on customer calls. And because the operators, by the way, instead of spending their time calling the techs, can now take calls from the customer. Hey, my power's out. Yeah, we're on it. We're coming. And so that, and it's fair and consistent for the techs. And of course, once again, all they had to do was look at three of the check marks. So here's, you know, typical utilities usage profile. We check three things in operations. Okay? We're not solving the whole, we're not boiling the ocean. Here's Emerson Ecologics, okay, a nutrition supplements company, and they were having long response times and so forth. This is basically a contact center, so we fudged on this one because Albert Koyman was beating him. We've got to put this one in. We said, well, it's really a call center. He says, it's contact. I said, okay, fine. So we did it. But the point is, you know, they basically have a contact center functionality built right into Link, which allows them to manage those incoming calls the way that call centers do, by routing them and queuing them and so forth. And so they got an improvement in their business, taking their costs of customer care down by 67%. Automate communication processes. So here's a company out in California that is doing a government-funded activity. There's 360,000 people. It's in Monterey County, California, and they're responsible. These are Medi-Cal recipients, and they're responsible for making sure all of these people get an annual initial health assessment. It's a regulatory requirement. Well, they used to spend a lot of time calling and trying to get people to come in for their appointments. So they automated this with outbound calling through interactive voice response on the Link platform. And the point is, they had this labor-intensive process, but now they get compliance without all the costs. So the system calls the patients to reschedule. They can do it in any language, multiple languages, because Monterey County, California, has a lot of different nationalities in it. The system will accept the patient's calls or responses. And there's an app tree to schedule or defer appointments, prep for appointments, do this before you come in, and so forth. And so they met their regulatory requirements for, I think it was less than half of their cost. So there's a payoff, right? Again, a payoff. And now we're back over into the deliver. So their job was to deliver care, and they were dealing with transaction, you know, basically automating a communication process and completing the transaction. I made the appointment. Speed information delivery. I love this one. This is Heron Connect. They make machines that are as tall as the diameter of their drill bit. These guys are standing in front of a drill bit. There's a Heron Connect drill bit. So it's not like your little hand drill at home. And so they're drilling holes to make tunnels. And they do it all over the world. And obviously, these drill bits hit things, and they break, and the parts break, and so forth. They needed to find the parts. And they had these huge international cellular phone bills because people were calling a central site to get the parts. And the way they solved this was by putting an IM bot into Link. And so they take the part number on the part, and they IM it into the bot, and the bot comes back and says, we have that part, here's where it is, do you want us to ship it or not? And if you type yes, it'll ship it to you. And they cut their phone bills in half. Their cellular phone bills, international bills, were cut in half. That alone paid for it. But you know where the big money was. The big money is they got the machine running faster. And, you know, it's called, I don't get paid until the tunnel is finished. So I'm going to drill the tunnel. Or maybe they get paid by the yard or by the foot. I don't know. But they make more money when the bit is running. So it speeded the maintenance process, increased uptime, shortened the project completion, that is digging the tunnel, and they sliced their phone bills. So there's another one. And here we are again. You know, they just did two things in this whole matrix of, you know, how a typical, this is a manufacturing, think of it as a manufacturing services company. They just did two things. Or Schlumberger, you know them as an oil field services company. and they have a product called Petrel, which is really fancy software. This is a picture out of Petrel. I don't know what that picture means. Brent Kelly, my friend, would know because he's a chemical engineer. You probably know what that picture means, right, Brent? Okay, so you know what that picture means. That's probably what it is, an oil field reservoir. So anyway, but the point is that when they get a picture like this by pounding on the ground and sending sonar down there and so forth, people have to interpret it and decide, should I drill in this field or not? And until they get all the expertise, they don't want to move the equipment over to the next oil field or the next potential oil field because that equipment's really expensive to move. So they have to leave it there until the decisions are made. So they built Link right into Petrel. You don't even see the name Link or Microsoft, but it's all a conferencing collaboration, IM and chat, built into Petrel. And what they say, I mean, they've said it publicly, that they have a 25% shorter exploration time per field. And you go figure how many millions of dollars that asset costs. If I can now do 5 explorations a year with that equipment instead of 4, which is what 25% faster will do for you, then that's worth really big money to them, either less asset cost or more fields explored, whichever way you want to do it. And so you look again at this in a value chain process. It's only a couple things. This is their R&D. Oil field exploration is the R&D function. You know, it's basically R&D in the petroleum industry. You're finding the assets. So they basically solved for those two problems. So you see the picture here? The picture is we're only going to solve for a specific thing within a value chain. Now maybe, and many of our clients, Don, we probably find 6 or 7 or 8 of these in a typical UC engagement. Do we do them all at once? No. We do them in a roadmap. Let's take the simple, easy ones and get started, and we'll prove it, and then we'll go to the next ones. That happened at the insurance company we described. They started with the claims process, and then everybody else wanted in, right? Everybody else showed up and said, well, I've got problems like that. I've got problems like that. So you don't have to solve the whole thing at once. So recapping, you can analyze your business processes. You can look for the communication hotspots and bottlenecks, and you can determine which can be solved using UC methods. So I've been going at this fast for about 15 minutes here. Does this make sense to you? Yeah? Okay. And you all know your own businesses, or if you're integrators or service providers, you know, you probably know some of your clients really well, and they'll talk to you about this. Yes, sir. Yeah, so his question, in the future, by the way, if you wouldn't mind, if you have a question, come to the mic because we're recording this session. So he asked, how do these typically get done, in-house or through a contractor? So at Conexus Energy, it was an outside, an ISV said, I can do that for you. And they did. At Global Crossing, it was the IT team. It was the in-house IT team. And they said, oh, we can write that IM bot. We already know. You know, we already know about the help desk software. We've got all the directory information about who, you know, about the skill sets. So they already knew their own process. And it probably was faster for them to do it internally because the work that'd be done was pretty simple. But the need for intrinsic knowledge of how the business worked was pretty rich. So maybe it's that Conexus, you needed to know the labor rules, but my guess is it's kind of like in finance, there's, you know, certain rules would be applicable across an industry. So we find some VARs are making a business in certain verticals and enabling technologies. A friend of mine has a business that's focused on law firms and another on education. So maybe this leads some of you to think about some vertical specializations. I don't know if you're a provider. That's a good question. Any others? Brent?
Seems like some of these, it's easy to put the dollar value on some of them, but on others it seems like it's more, this speeds up my process. I don't know that I can really monetize how much that is, but I just know that it helps me. Is that something common that you see, or is there always a bottom line to these? I mean, can you always convert these into dollars, or is it sometimes, you know, a hospital can put more people through a bed faster? It's a little hard to measure.
Well, so our experience is that it can always be measured. However, sometimes executives are so intuitive they get it, And they don't want to, they don't want to reveal their secret knowledge. They'll just say, do it. So there is some of that. Brent's question, I think, is sometimes, is it so obvious that you don't have to go all the way to the bottom line? Sometimes, Don?
The thing I'd add to that is go to the line of business manager who owns that process. And as Marty suggested, they know it. They know the numbers. And, you know, Marty says sometimes they'll just say, yeah, do it. Other times, what we've been successful at is asking them for, what's it worth to you to speed this process up? And they'll tell you. They know the numbers. They understand what their sales process is, and if we can cut that back by a month, and if they see, yeah, I understand how that will cut a month out of this process, they'll give you the number. But it's not the IT guys, and it's not the green eyeshade guys.
Good point.
It's the guy out in the line of business. So talk to them.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Okay, so we've talked about the first couple. So what are applications for UC are here today? So you say, well, we've already looked at a bunch of them, right? in order to answer this, I'm a matrix. My mind works like matrix. My wife's mind works like pictures. You know, she remembers pictures of things. I remember matrices of things. So this is my matrix of UC apps. And so up the y-axis is individual. Is it going to help an individual, a team, a department, or the whole enterprise? Across X is it an infrastructure play? Is it a product supplement? By the way, I'll just say at this stage for the Link product, a number of the apps that are on the business apps for Link pages on Microsoft, they're really supplements to the Microsoft product. And people who built those shouldn't expect to be earning revenue on that two releases from now. You know, because Microsoft sooner or later will fill in the gaps. But there's still a lot of that out there. Is it a horizontal specific use, like something for sales? Is it a specific business function? Is it industry specific, like in healthcare or utilities? Is it a broad horizontal use, like everybody can use it? And then is it likely to have low, medium, high, or very high ROI or value? And is it really unique, like a star? The more pointy it is, the more unique we think it is. A square has 4 points, 3 points, or no points, you know, minimal. So it's average, it's utilitarian. And so when I look at replacing an IP PBX or Link Enterprise Voice, it gets my lowest score. It's a round gray blob. And it's for everybody in the enterprise, and it's an infrastructure play, which is why Cisco could succeed at it. Okay? And you just heard my opinion. I actually did a session on Tuesday morning. Usually the ROI for doing that is a negative number. Sometimes it can get to be a 5-year payback, a 4-year payback. 4 and 5-year paybacks are not high ROI products, okay? Investments. SIP trunks, they're in that category. I'm not going to get, but MPLS with IP backbone is a little better because you can save more money with it, but it's still a utilitarian thing. System monitoring, you know, should be part of the product, so I put it in the product supplement column if you're having to build a separate app for it. Contact center, horizontal specific use, probably assigned at a department level, not enterprise-wide. You know, over there, you start seeing presence show up. Enterprise-wide, or it could be departmental, but a broad horizontal use. But if I make skill search, if I take what's in presence and I add function to make it a skill search product, now I've got a business function that's probably going to help a team, like at Global Crossing. So I can start mapping what's out there. If I look at cellular mobility, so I'm going to give UC on a mobile phone, that's broad horizontal use. But if I bring it down to campus mobility, like teachers on a secondary education campus, which we see a lot of people doing with the Polycom mobile phones, but they can be Link endpoints as well, you know, then we see a really specific value proposition, and there's great case studies about that. UC device clients, okay, well, that's horizontal. Audio, video, document conferencing, there's lots of people selling that. A little bit higher because you can keep people off airplanes. It's got green on it. But if I bring it over here and I put it inside a business function, like video room systems, I can probably get more value for it. But if I bring it into a collaborative workspace, maybe I can get even more function for it. So it's called, do I think about this? This is really unified communications over here. Unified communications products, I should say. So most of the vendors, because vendors don't customize things, they build something for as broad a market as they can. So it's only when you start configuring them in here that you get a difference. You may say, well, why all this blank space in there? And the point is, this is where you start seeing CEBP show up, communications-enabled business processes, because these are business function and industry specific. And so if we take, I'm one chart ahead of myself. So if I take what's on the value map of Link Apps for Business, you go onto that Microsoft page where there's 90-some apps, this is my view of that page. So I've got 11 recording and compliance apps, I've got 5 billing and reporting, I've got 4 collaboration, I've got 8 features, 20 features, I've got conferencing here, e-learning, workflow apps, connect, workflow connectors, contact center, 36 of them, including IVR and so forth, by the way, but the contact center category, So, you know, this is kind of what I see. And it's great to do. I mean, it's always true at the beginning of a new product that you see a lot in this these product supplement columns. That's okay. They're valuable things. And when you buy them, I mean, Brent and I have done a total cost of ownership study on Link. And, you know, we can go take an interactive intelligence contact center and add it to Link, and it's still competitive with an IP PBX with a contact center built in. So it doesn't mean they're bad. It's just this is my view of it. But if I go and one more thing, is that Don has a session. It's being repeated. He did one on Tuesday, but it's also coming up as the next session about all those contact center ones. So tell me about all the contact center solutions for Link. That's the next session with Don in Copperleaf 1. So, but if I take the prior examples, those seven examples we saw, there's Global Crossing. You know, pretty unique, not entirely unique, but pretty unique. It's serving a particular team, the help desk, and it's got gold color because it has a really high ROI. Wonderware fits there. Connexus fits there. Emerson, though, it's a contact center. So it's back over in this column. Care First, Schlumberger, Heron Connect. You know, so now I'm over in this space, and this is where you get those customized UC solving for the communication hotspots sort of apps is over in that category. Does this make sense? I don't know if you find this matrix useful. It helps me, but did it help you? Yeah, some heads nodding. Okay. So it's just my way of trying to think about what am I looking at out here, folks, all these different things, and what categories are they in? So now if I say, what if I start taking case studies off of the case study search engine? There's hundreds of case studies up on the Microsoft site. And so you start seeing some interesting ones. There's many that I'm sorry to say are just IP PBX replacements or PBX replacement case studies, which is fine. I mean, Link does that, and people do that, but that doesn't excite me. But we see, an airline in Asia, founded on Link as their communication platform. It's got some uniqueness to it. It's not just an IP PBX, although it includes that. Or KU Leuven, a university in Belgium, and they have some workflow-related activities in addition to its being an IP PBX workflow for the professors and the staff. And VNG, MWH Global, Shell, have specific business unit functionality. Metro Bank is a great video on Metro Bank in the UK about how they're very consumer-oriented and they want to be different for their customers and how they're using Link on the backside in their business processes to get the work to flow faster. I mean, they got specific examples. So it's not just about I replaced my phones. I love that video, by the way, because you actually see the Cisco phone sitting on the desk. It's a video in their building. It's a Cisco phone still sitting on the desk, but the Link client is what's doing the work, which means you can have these side by side. And in many cases, that is the best way, as Don said earlier. Oh, sorry, I got ahead of myself. Were there anything else? Belfast Health is, changing the retail clinical health environment. So you see a number of these clustered up in this corner, and they're out there. So it's not like we're making this up as Unicom Consulting. You can actually see the published case studies. You can see some of these case studies on Cisco, a few on Siemens, although they tend to be over here, a few on Avaya, but they tend to be over here. So it varies. IBM doesn't publish many case studies, but when they do, they're up in here. They're over in that side. So we've talked about all these. And so what are the likely future applications? Because we said we would do a forecast. And so it won't be as specific as you might want. But if I look at this from the perspective of, is it going to be CEBP, we think that likely future applications are going to be CEBP or comm-enabled business apps, mobile applets, portals, workflows, documents, and workspaces that will help you go faster, use less, or be different. So we think people are catching on to this. And, you know, the licensing model of Microsoft has lots and lots of people with plenty of licenses for Link. We're not in the licensing phase of Link anymore, are we? We're in the adoption phase, and this is what's going to get it adopted. We also think that there will be a lot of B2B peering and federation and social. So we also think there will be a lot of work going on with supply chain and partners or with customers and clients. And this one retail bank we told you about with high net worth, their first response to us about don't they want to be videoing and IMing with their clients was kind of like, no, these are really high net worth people and they don't do that. And then we started talking to them, they changed their mind. The fact is that these people are old enough to have college age children and the kids have taught them how to use all the technology, right? So those families are more wired than the bank thought at first, but they've changed their mind on that. So, you know, you see these kinds of opportunities. And then finally, UC device client adoption. So if you can get people to use the UC client on their device of choice, you help enable the other stuff. We put it at the bottom of the list, not the top, but it's an enabler. Composite user experience is the last thing. Gartner said in their UC Magic Quadrant, their UC Magic Quadrant, their report this year, they say the following thing: the user experience is existential for most vendors. Now, existential is a word that means you're going to live or die. So if you don't get the UX right, you may not succeed in this industry. And the funny thing is, IBM is doing a great job of this because their name for this is not same time, it's connections. And connections is not, it's social for business is their name, but it's actually a workflow portal. They've taken web portal technology, and you can put any widget on that desk, you can put transaction feeds, collaboration feeds, and so forth in a social context with same time UC built in. So, but they're going after the user experience. And by the way, it's funny, they don't sell this to the IT department. They sell it to HR. Sometimes they sell it to marketing for external client relationships, this guy down here. Mostly they sell it to HR because it's about human resources. So by the way, the unified communication industry, counting IP-PBXs, is about a $30 billion a year industry. The global payroll this year is $70 trillion. So it's about the people, the time, the labor that goes into communications. It's not the technology that goes into communications. Okay? So if I do that, where are the apps going to show up? Well, we'll continue to get, you know, UC as an application service platform, because all these things we've talked about, you consume unified communication as a platform, as Don said in the beginning. So if you think about Link as a platform, it's a great platform. And we have clients using it that way. Even though they've got a PBX running their phones, they use this as their UC platform. But we also see that there will be a whole course in here about optimizing communication and workflows and reducing the real-time communication and workflows. We actually think that, you know, if, you know, that voice and video are the most expensive forms of communication, you should try to use them as sparingly as possible. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But if you think about it the way I think about the bottom line of these things, I want people in a call after they know what they're doing. I don't want them spending time in video, you know, both from a bandwidth expense as well as their time, you know, deciding, you know, looking over a report or, you know, searching for information. That stuff should be there in context before they even start. So I think there's going to be a big pony in that stuff. Wonderware would be an example of that. You know, Global Crossing would be another example. You know, they do that. I think there's also embed communication in mobile apps. So our mobile phones are already apps devices. We don't think, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't think of this phone as just a phone. I think about it as a whole bunch of apps I can tap on. Well, we think that's where comm's going to go. There's a company called JJ Food Services in the UK. You know, it's all about route drivers, and Don's point that they think in terms of how many minutes can I cut out of a route per day, and how much more product can I deliver in those minutes. And so they wanted a client, a delivery client on the mobile device. And they built it using Cisco contact center technologies, basically making these guys into Cisco agents. After doing that for a year, they ripped it out and did it with Link because it was easier to do and far less costly to run as a Link app. Okay, and I've had them on a panel with me at Enterprise Connect. So it's like just one example, but there's so many. I think if you were to imagine, you know, how could you reduce your business to a bunch of mobile apps, you'd have a real breakthrough of what's possible in this space. And then embed comm in web portals. So obviously, I mean, the keynote, Gurdeep jumped right on this. I mean, both of his examples were exactly that, right? One was click to Skype from a web page, basically automated contact center through Skype. Another was, I'm going to have a dialogue with an IM bot about my wrist, and then when I need to see a physician, the screen opens up, right? And now in California, they're now allowing, I think Medicare, not just in California, Medicare now allows doctors to bill for video sessions. So I don't have to, they don't lose any revenue by doing that, right? Which does matter to them. But that's comm in a web portal. Then we think this is the client adoption topic that was mentioned before. That'll enable things. And then up at the top is the federation, because that'll be very broad. There's some product supplementation there, but that'll be very broad, and it may happen across enterprises and departments. There could be some, you know, if it's just federating, say, within a supply chain, maybe that's just manufacturing and logistics, which would be department level. But so this is kind of our map of where we think the new UC apps will show up, if any of you are thinking about investing or watching the space. Oh, sorry, and then lastly, composite user experience. That was on my chart, too. But that'll go behind all of this and consume those. So I think we've covered everything up to the point of technology options. And so with that, let me stop back at the prior chart and say, there. Questions? Is it still making sense to you? Helpful? Useful? Okay. So then we're going to say, okay, how do we choose the technology? And this is going to be kind of a, you know, we're independent consultants, so what we're about to say has some risk for us, but we'll take the risk, which is we do think this is a pretty good platform for that purpose. You want to comment on that? Or?
Well, yeah, I think one of the big things that for me at least that came out of this session here this week is just the degree to which this concept of being a platform is really taking off. And part of that is some of the changes that Microsoft has made in terms of how they're bringing out some of their product capabilities, some of the tools that they're bringing to the table. They've had things, UCMA, for example, as an API platform to allow developers to write stuff. Now we've got, you know, UCWA. But UCWA is a bit clunky, so now we've got J-Link on top of this. Well, that's going to be a really helpful step, I think, to enable this kind of development to go on. And it was really brought home to me. I was asked to do a session on contact centers here. Who are all the developers that are involved in contact centers? And a little off the topic of UC, but the point is that, as Marty said, there are 36 qualified companies out here that are now developing specific applications. Some of them span the entire contact center range. Some of them are very focused on a particular problem. How do we get better reports out of response groups, for example? The whole point is that we're transforming the way this business is evolving into being a platform-based approach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's enormously powerful, because the whole point of what we've been saying is tie what you're doing to the specific business applications that are going on, right? And that implies that for a lot of these things, you've got to go in and really understand how does an educational environment work? How does a university work? Or how do property and casualty insurance companies do their business?
Right.
And Microsoft doesn't know that, you know? Who knows it? It's the SIs. It's the VARs. It's the people that are out there that have some specialized expertise that can take this platform and build on top of it.
Right.
And that's where we're going to get the benefit. And that's where UC is going to really make a difference, in our opinion.
So this was a chart. This is a chart that Albert Kooyman presented in a CEBP session I had at Enterprise Connect last spring.
Yep.
And, you know, these were his categories. They're not quite all seven of them. But then he presented this chart, which is what you were talking about, Don, which is the API set. And,
yes, exactly.
You know, the only company in the UC space that competes with this is IBM.
Right.
And next after that, by the way, is Oracle, not Cisco or Avaya. I mean, those companies really think about their APIs as kind of tools for their engineers. They've got some, they do publish them, and they do say they have developer communities, but just my judgment on it. I mean, I won't.
And where is it going? Google, you know, and you start looking out in the future. We're radically changing how this is all going to evolve. So it's a good space.
Yeah. By the way, that's not to say Jabber API isn't a great API, but it's a client side only. You know, so there's you find that, again, I'm risking my independence, but I think these guys have thought about APIs longer than most. Punchline, review your usage profiles and your workflows, find the hotspots, prioritize the solutions, put priority solutions into a modular roadmap. And so what do you need to succeed? Then it's just our last chart is, we already said it, right, Don? Get the business units in, create innovative solution designs, accurately spec them, by the way. That'll keep your cost with the VARs down and the SIs. You know, accuracy of spec, don't let scope creep in, don't give them an open checkbook. implement progressive sequences. As we said, you may find, we find what, typically five, six, seven things to do,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, get the, as Marty said, get the low-hanging fruit. Get basically early successes do two things. They are demonstration projects inside your company to show how this stuff can really work, and it'll get a lot of buzz going, and people will come back.
Right.
And oh, by the way, the benefits you can harvest from those first applications can go to help fund the next round.
Right. Use trusted partners. So if you're going to do it, by the way, it's okay. You may not have, you don't have to use the same partner that installed your link system to do your apps. You may have two or three other partners for the apps. So, and if you're systems integrators, you may find you need to bring a partner in who's a specialist in a vertical. So if you're a systems integrator who's been working with healthcare, but you have a law firm client, I'd say call enabling and, you know, that kind of thing. You know, get the expert. Use metrics and feedback. We really encourage you to help instrument these things as you install them. Back to Brent's question earlier, you know, how do I get to the bottom line? You know, put some instrumentation in. Not, doesn't have to be much, but the instrumentation that a line of business manager will understand. I am selling the product faster, or I am repairing the network faster, or I am doing those things. And then support, monitor the rollout, and adjust as appropriate. So that's our story. We're kind of sticking to it. And if you have any questions, we're glad you came. If you have any questions, we could take them. We got about 5 minutes more. Yes, come to the microphone. I will. You want to go back to here? Okay. Remember, you'll have all these slides too, but you can take your picture. Anything else? Yes, sir.
So in terms of the technology, right, the buzzword nowadays is WebRTC. So what's your take on it with regards to using WebRTC to achieve this?
Yeah, well, I think WebRTC, just like SIP, is a fabulous technology. And so, I mean, Java is a fabulous technology and so forth. WebRTC is not an application. It's a tool, right? So back to Don's earlier chart where we talked about embedded communications, I think WebRTC will help that.
Yeah,
we talk about software-based communications. I think WebRTC will help that, right?
Yeah, what it,
I think
what
it's a great tool.
What it does is it makes it easier for users to get access into your business. It removes the need to do a download. That's what WebRTC does, fundamentally. And so it removes a barrier. That's a very important step.
Right.
But that's all it does. Okay?
You still have to go look for the hotspots, and then maybe WebRTC lets you solve it faster, as Don says, right? Any other questions? Thanks for being here, then. I hope this is helpful to you. This is our intention.